not 80 miles an hour. That's right. Turn, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 2. We're going to go to three portions of scripture to begin with tonight. It is good to be here. Good to have a good Wednesday night service. I do enjoy Wednesday night, and I appreciate the opportunity to come and deliver God's word. And I hope that it's a blessing to all of us here tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 2. And this is just a starting point that we want to look at. If anything, you'll get the Word of God tonight. Amen. You'll get some scripture. The Bible says, "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Amen. Now. It is now that we need to serve the Lord. It is now that we need to get saved. Amen. If you're not saved here tonight, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, I would hope that you would be saved tonight. But in Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 13, we have this verse. If you want to turn there, that's fine. I'm just going to go ahead and read it. Philippians. I've turned to the wrong portion, so let me get there. Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 13. Philippians 3:13 says this, "Brethren, I count not myself to apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before." Let's pray again. Lord, be with us. Bless the reading of your word. And help us, Lord, to get a blessing from this message tonight, the lesson. And Lord, may we learn something from your word. And I ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now is the accepted time, but also now is the time. Years ago, I did a series of messages at our church on now is the time. And this is one of those. Now is the time, of course, for salvation. That's not the message tonight. But tonight we want to look at now is the time to forget the past and to look forward. There are some things that if we look into our life and our past, that it will discourage us from serving Him. But if you'll go now to Ezra in chapter number 2, this is our text for tonight. And then we're going to extrapolate a little bit of a story and what happened to the children of Israel here tonight. We want to look at some very important things tonight that we need to consider, and what the children of Israel had to go through and had to consider in their lives. You have to understand the history of Israel was full of sin. They had greatly sinned, and so God had punished not only Israel, which was the 10 tribes, but also Judah, which were the 2 tribes. And if you'll remember the lessons on the Word of God and on what Pastor has so effectively brought to you over the time, that the 10 tribes were called Israel, but the Judah and the other tribe was called, of course, Judah. And they were all taken captive, the one to Assyria and the other to Babylon. But these here in Ezra were the ones coming back from Babylon. I want you to look at verse number 1, chapter number 2, Ezra, chapter 2, verse number 1. "Now these are the children of the province that went up out of the captivity of those that had been carried away, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away unto Babylon. And came again unto Jerusalem and Judah, every one unto his city." And if you'll look at all these, we're not going to read all the children here, but I want you to think about this situation that happened to the children of Israel. In 587 BC, Judah was taken captive by Babylon. For 800 years, the people of Israel and Judah had occupied the promised land. In those years, God had called his people, and they had sinned greatly. And exile was the only cure for their idolatry. For 51 years, they languished in Babylon. until 50,000 Jews returned to Judah in 536 BC. 51 years. Can you imagine 51 years? I just celebrated my 27th, as Brother Matthews would say, my 27th 39th birthday this past Monday. So at 51 years ago, I was 15, carefree and happy, amen? And that's a long time, is what I'm trying to say. 51 years. They had been away from their cities. They had been away from Jerusalem. They had been away from all that they knew. Can you imagine the memories that these children of Israel had? Can you think back 51 years? I'm sure there's plenty here. I know there's plenty here that aren't 51. Maybe if you can look back maybe 50 months, I'm not sure. But if you can look back 51 years and remember where you were, what you were doing, a lot of us can, amen? We can remember our childhood. We can remember our teen years. We can remember the good things. We can remember where we lived, what we did, amen? Our school days, if you will, and we'll have some good memories, a lot of us. And we'll have maybe some not so good memories. But what kind of memories did some of these folks have? What kind of emotions went through their lives? What gratitude to God? What discouragement to see the wasted city and lands and the temple gone when they came back? The Davidic throne gone. What was there left? You know, in our lives, this kind we can picture sometimes that maybe in our lives we look back and we see where we were, and maybe some things have happened in our life, some tragic things, some discouraging things, and we get on in the future of our life, we get going in our life, and we think, what is there left in my life? What can I do for the Lord? And we can apply this to almost every person that's here tonight. And I want to look at three or four things tonight and we'll be done. But I want you to remember that they were in Babylon for all those years, for 51 years. They've come back. They see the city at wasted. Do you understand what I'm talking about tonight? They've come back to Judah. They've come back to their cities. They've come back to their land. They see how it's wasted. They see cities destroyed. The Davidic throne is gone, and they have to start to rebuilding. What a discouraging time that must have been. But in their minds, think, if you will, what they could remember. First of all, we have the preaching of the past. The preaching of the past is what they had. What were they thinking about? What preached to them? Do you know that these folks witnessed several things while they were in captivity? One of those things was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Amen? And that would have preached to them the faithfulness of God. And if we can look back at our life and we can see the faithfulness that God has provided for us, even during hard times, even during times of discouragement, God provided for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Taken because they would not bow their knees, because they would not succumb to the demands of a government to worship someone other than God. Cast into the burning fiery furnace. Amen. Years ago, my wife taught my kids to quote that verse. And my daughter was one of those. And they'd get up there and they'd quote that verse, and they'd sing that song. Karen, why don't you quote that verse? No, I'm just joking. I'm not. She all of a sudden just went, oh no. But that was always such a blessing to hear the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and how they stood up for God, and how they were willing to die for God. These people who were coming back into Judah, who were coming back after years of captivity, could look back and think about the preaching in their lives, how God had provided, had been faithful. Not only had Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego happened while they're gone, but David was delivered from the den of lions. David, who also still prayed to God, whether the government said he could or not, still prayed to God, cast into that den of lions and was spared by God. The faithfulness of God. God was faithful to his true believers. Even during that awful captivity, Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse number 9, if you want to turn there, you can. But Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse number 9, I want to read to you just this verse out of Deuteronomy. The Bible says, Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to a thousand generations. To those that love him. Do you love him tonight? Do you care for him? Do you want to serve him? Do you want to follow him in your life? I want you to know tonight that this preached to these people. The faithfulness of God preached to him. And can you look back in your life and see just some instance where God has been faithful to you and said, I will do this for you, even during times of difficulty. Not only was there a preaching that followed them, but there was the promise for the future through the throne of David. Even though that it was gone, the Davidic line was there. In Matthew chapter 1, and we find in verses 11 and 12, let's turn there, Matthew chapter 1. I'm not going to read all the verses here. I mean, if you start in verse number 1 and go all the way down in Matthew, down to verse 11 and 12, you'll see how God had kept the line of Jesus Christ and the line of David and up to Jesus Christ. But in Matthew chapter 11... Excuse me again. Matthew chapter 1, verse 11. And Josias begat Jehoiada, and they were carried away to Babylon. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jehoiada begat Salathiel, and Salathiel begat Zerubbabel. And you go on and on, and you come on down, and you see verse number 23. Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Amen. The Davidic throne carried on. It carried on and on. During the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple, the line of Christ kept right on going. We see that here. When they got out of Babylon, the line kept on going. God promised that. God has promised us many things in his word. And we need to follow him. We need to give our hearts to the Lord with everything that we have. There was a promise for the future. Now it was the preaching of the past and a promise to the future. But in this promise for the future, there is a promise of the presence of Jehovah among them. Then in Babylon and now back in Jerusalem and Judea, Ezra, if you're in Ezra, you can go to verse number 7, or chapter number 7, verse number 6. This Ezra went up from Babylon. He was ready, scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord, a God of Israel, had given. The king granted him all his requests according to the hand of the Lord. That's the wrong verse. I want to go to verse 27. I'm sorry. Verse number 27. Blessed be the Lord God. I want you to notice the three times here that the Lord is mentioned. Blessed be the Lord God. I want you to notice it's capital L-O-R-D. All caps. The Lord God of our fathers, which hath put such a thing as this in the king's heart to beautify the house of the Lord again, which is in Jerusalem, and hath extended mercy unto me before the king and his counselors, and before all the king's mighty princes, and I was strengthened that the hand of the Lord my God was upon me. Three times. Lord, Lord, Lord. If you follow the teaching of the Word of God, if you follow this King James Bible, It says, Lord, all caps, means Jehovah. We know that Jehovah is none other than Jesus. Amen. That's who it is. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Nazareth chapter 7, verse 27 and 28 is where we see the Lord mentioned. Three times mentioned over and over and over again. This is the promise. Folks, I think we ought to remember the hymn that God has given us, or excuse me, that we have in our hymnal. I'm not sure if it's in our hymnal, but it's more about Jesus would I know, more of His grace to others show, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me. More about Jesus. More about Jesus. We need to talk about Jesus. Amen? Jesus ought to be on our lips. Jesus ought to be in our hearts. Jesus ought to be in our lives today. And that's what the children of Israel had. Even though they didn't know of Jesus, they knew of the Lord God. They knew of Jehovah. And this, when they got back from Babylon, and after all that, they got this preaching of the past, and they got the promise for the future, and then they had the promise of the presence of Jehovah. We also see in Ezra, we see a precious holy scriptures. Remember, what was Ezra? Does anybody know here? What was Ezra? He was a scribe. Amen? He was a scribe. He wrote the Word of God. He copied the Word of God. He handled the Word of God. We in our life and these people's life, they had the scripture. If you would look in Nehemiah, we're not going to go there, but I looked at a verse not that long ago where Ezra came and stood in the pulpit and he read the Word of God and all the people stood up. And when he got done reading, they said, Amen, Amen. And that's what we ought to be saying about the Word of God. They had the precious Holy Scriptures. And if Ezra chapter 7, I'll go back to the verse that I accidentally read before, but chapter 7, verse 6, this Ezra went up from Babylon. He was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. And the king granted him all his requests according to the hand of the Lord, his God, upon him. You jump down to verse number 10. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. They had the precious holy scriptures. What do you think they had? I believe they had the Psalms of David, don't you? The time was there. The scribes were there. Ezra was there. They had Psalm chapter 119, 105, the 119 verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to his word. They had Psalm 119 and verse number 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now think of your life in the view of these scriptures. Think of what the children of Israel went through. Think of what they came through. Think of all these things. How the discouragement must have been when they got back to Jerusalem. When they got back to Judah. When they got back to their hometown and saw the destruction. Have we wandered from God like the children of Israel? Several times they did. Think of our lives. I'm sure there's times in my life I know I've wandered away from God. Haven't done exactly what He wanted me to do. Folks, it's a dark place in life when you do that. Have we wandered from God? Maybe step by step, slowly, gradually, living our lives the way we see fit. Till saying, I know best. I know what I need to do. I don't need God telling me what to do. I had a good friend in Lansing, Michigan when I was there. Smart man. Brilliant man. And we were friends. We would travel to a Bible college together. And we moved about the same time down to to Livonia, Michigan, and down there we got in the church and started serving the Lord under pastor there and trying to serve God. And I remember him, very smart man, very brilliant, and serving God day after day. Finally, one day he got married, but things happened in his life, and he got discouraged. And he even left, before he got discouraged, he left to a little town in mid-Michigan, a little town just north of Lansing, St. John's, and pastored there at church, and got even more discouraged because the people wouldn't follow, people wouldn't do the things, and got discouraged in the work of the Lord. Finally, he left the ministry and went to college and became a certified public accountant. He was so brilliant. He passed the test on the first sitting. Many times folks have to take that test over and over and over again. But the first time he sat down and took the test, he breezed right through it. And he came back to visit one day and he was talking to the pastor and I was there, and he said, the pastor asked him, are you going to church? Are you following the Lord? He said this. He says, I don't need some man standing up and telling me what to do. I don't need someone telling me what to do. He had gotten to that place, even though he had followed the Lord all his life or his adult life, out of the ministry, not even going to church. What a discouraging thing. I know best. I know what I'm doing. Have you ever got to that point? We become exiles from God's fellowship. Then we sin and we regret it. And we think, what is there left? Turn with you, if you will, to a familiar portion of Scripture in Luke. Would you please? I know we just looked at this Sunday morning. Pastor did a wonderful message on the Father, but I want to look at the Son just for a few moments here. I'm not going to belabor it. But Luke chapter 15, it's the most famous story about God's mercy, probably in the Bible outside of Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 15, of course, it's a lost son. A certain man had two sons, and you remember the story, how the one asked for his inheritance. The Bible says in verse number 14, when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land and began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to the citizen of that country and sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants my fathers have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I want you to notice this is what he did. He said, I'm going to do this. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Ever you got to that place where you said, I'm going to do this? Remember we talked about now is the time? Have we ever decided in our life, I'm going to do something for God? He said, I'm going to do this, but I want you to see this. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. He did exactly what he said he was going to do. Folks, we need to determine if we're going to do something for God, we need to do it. Now is the time. Now is the time. It's not tomorrow. It's not someday. It's now. Teenagers, it's now that we want to serve God. It's now to be saved. It's now to determine. Young people, it's now. All people, it's now. I want you to notice these things. You may think there is nothing left, but there are these. Now I know I'm talking to church people here tonight. I understand that. And I know, and I understand that usually the most faithful of people will come on a Wednesday night. And I tell you what, I have come to church and been discouraged. And most of the time I get encouraged when I'm at church. But I have lived and I have been unsaved sitting in a Baptist church thinking, well, I need to do a little bit more. Well, the first thing you need to know is remember that God loves you and wants you to be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That says that in 1 John 1:9. We have the precious gospel tonight. We have the precious gospel to encourage our hearts. We not only have the precious gospel, but we have the divine promises. And we have the promise of his coming. We have divine promises in Hebrews chapter 13, in verse number 5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Those are precious promises, amen? Those are promises that we can hold on to, that God says he will be with us. We have the coming hope of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. That is what we have coming to us if you're saved tonight. And then lastly, we have the challenge of a new task. For a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. Folks, we don't need to be discouraged. We don't need to be as the children of Israel as they came back into Judah. They remembered all the things that had transpired, but they still had the scriptures. They still had the promises of God. They still had Jehovah as their God. They had something to look forward to. And if tonight you're discouraged, and if tonight you have been thinking of what can I do for God, you can still serve him. Amen. You can still follow him. Let's pray tonight. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. I want you to think tonight.